In just a few moments, we're going to sing as an invitation song, the one that starts out, "Time is filled with swift transition." That certainly seems to be the case. This is the time of year when we do our year-end review. I look back to see how many of these I've done. I was trying to think, when did this tradition start? And it was in 2011 was the first one I could find, so that would be 5 years. And that just shows how one of many ways to say that wherever you put a marker down in time, it seems like it zooms on by. And things just click right along. And it seems like to me, now I realize everybody's perception and perspective is different because your year was probably totally different than my year. So the way it feels to me may not be the way it felt to you, but as I was sitting back and just thinking about 2016 and some way to kind of encapsulate it, change was kind of a word that came to my mind. Some things bring that home to you, like having a kid about to go off to college. But I know that our family isn't the only one that is going through a transition, going through change. Many others are as well. And so tonight we're going to talk about things that are changing, things that have changed in 2016. And at the end, to tie it in with some spiritual things, we'll think about some things that never change. And we'll connect those two dots together. A Greek philosopher who lived some 600 years before Jesus said, his name was Heraclitus, "Change is the only constant in life." That's interesting to think about, isn't it? The same man said, "You can never step into the same river twice." And that's an interesting, now that'll give you something just to ponder for a minute, like a philosophical thought. The idea is the river's changing and so are you. And so you can never actually step into the same river twice. Well, as we think about our change in our 2016, one of the things that I thought about just zooming way out from a big perspective is this was a big election year. And so 2016 was a year where the river was going to take a turn. Something's going to be different. I don't think we know exactly, I don't think anybody does, what the future holds, how good or bad it may be. There's people that are thrilled by the prospect of the change that our country is the direction, the new direction that we've agreed on. There's other people who are freaking out over it and scared to death. But I would suggest that as Christians, as we've talked about in earlier lessons, you know, our faith is in a kingdom that cannot be shaken, in a higher governing authority. And so we're not going to be rattled by all that. But we certainly are wondering which way the tide is going to go and which way this river is going to turn, where the next bend will take us as things continue to change around us. It is just something that is a constant in our lives. Nothing stays the same. As we think about bringing it a little closer to home and things that have gone on here in the congregation in 2016, we've had a change in the eldership. Jeff decided to step down this during 2016 because of their kind of changing situation with splitting their time up between here and Florida and being our kind of members at large when they're not here. It's encouraging to me when they come back, which they have quite a bit, and I'm glad that this is home base still. And so they keep coming back in, and we hear the stories of seeing the Jacksons down in Fort Lauderdale or members in Clearwater or all over the place. So we are confident that even when we are apart, that their light is shining and they're being an encouragement and a boost and a shot in the arm wherever they go, as I know is true for all of us when we travel and we're away, when the Thompsons are away over in the Tin Can. There's members there that are glad to see him come, I'm sure, as well. And that's not my name for it, by the way. That's the nickname I've heard others use. Anyway, they're home away from home, too. But that's one of the changes that we've seen as a group here. And it's interesting to look in the New Testament. You know, there were families that were on the go. One of such families was Priscilla and Aquila. And I did not trace their movements for this lesson, but it is an interesting study to see whenever we bump into them in Scripture, as you're reading through the letters, they show up in salutations in different places. They are apparently a mobile power couple who were kind of wherever they were doing good. And so that's definitely a good example that we have there. And I have that same kind of feeling about Jeff and Leah in their travels when they're away from us. And I'm encouraged by their continued faithfulness to the Lord. And it feels a little awkward to me to discuss it, but while we're talking about changing the eldership, of course, I was appointed an elder in this past year as well, and I'm very grateful for the encouragement, for the support. It's still a little hard for me to wrap my mind around, But I'm Larry and Terry are wonderful guys to work with, and it has been just a very encouraging experience for me. And you guys have been very supportive. And as I was thinking about that in preparing this lesson, it's something I've thought about trying to figure out when to say and how to say. And so this is a good time as any. But I want to express my gratitude for your support for me and Sarah and our family for all these years, meaning financially and every other way. We are only able to do this full time and to be here because of your support. We're partners in that. It's a fellowship. It is a sharing together, a joint effort. And I am all the time thinking about how blessed we are. You can ask Sarah. I talk about that constantly. And I tell people so often that we are spoiled by you guys. That's just a constant, common conversation that I have with people that I just feel very, very blessed here. And you guys take good care of us, and I certainly do appreciate it. And I probably don't say that. I know I don't say that as often as I should, because it just doesn't seem like it comes up. I should say it more often, let me put it that way. But thank you very much for supporting us in our work here with you as a evangelist and preacher, and now as one of the elders. I certainly do appreciate it. Some of our church family has parted ways with us this year for various reasons. The Sharons, earlier back in the year, decided to worship closer to home. I believe they're at Locke's Crossroads in Elkmont. I believe that's what I remember hearing them say as they left. So they moved in a different direction. Julie and Grace, who are back with us tonight, also have moved in a different direction. And the Hardens also have decided to worship closer to home. So that's a big blow, three families like that to move to somewhere else. But it's encouraging to me again to know that they are all faithful in their attendance and part of the Lord's body, just worshiping with a different group somewhere else. So it's sad from our South Fayetteville point of view, but that's somewhat the way life goes as we think about changes and things that have happened during this past year. On the brighter side, we have had some growth. Sabrina was baptized on January 10th of this year. I had to go back and look at my records. But in January 10th, it's almost been a year, but Sabrina was baptized this year. I think that was our only baptism. If I've forgotten, I hope I haven't. But feel free to interrupt me now if you think of another one. But Sabrina was baptized this year, and so that's certainly encouraging. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And I will say this too, it's not too late. We can add another name to the list for 2016 if we need to. So if we'll have that opportunity here in a moment, and we can actually stop in the middle if somebody knows that's what you want to do. It'd be a good thing to add another name to that list. Also, in terms of growing, we haven't had any people placing membership, but we've had the Chapmans visiting pretty regularly, and they were here again this morning, Rod and Marilyn, and they've moved here. And every time I talk to them, you get the feeling like they feel like this is going to be their home, and I mean church home too. So I hope that that's the case. Let's continue to encourage them and have good interactions with them. And hopefully they'll be joining our number in an official way soon. Also, in terms of growing, we've had several exciting things happening in terms of our teaching here. I'll just say for my own part that I want to express thanks to our teachers. I know every class, whether it be Sunday morning or Wednesday night, I'm right out here. And so it's been a long time since I was back around the corner. But I know every time we come together, except Sunday nights, on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, there's people breaking off and going back there and teaching, and a whole lot of you are involved in that in one way or another. Some of you have been doing it for years and years and years. And that's a wonderful work to be involved in the lives of our young people. I have a bunch of those young people myself and at various ages. But that's a hard job in a lot of ways. I know some classes are more of a challenge than others, and each class is challenging in its own way. And so to be willing to step up to the bat and take that challenge on, put up with people like Cole all the time to teach is a wonderful thing. And so I certainly appreciate that as well. And specifically, I was thinking about changing and growing this year, and I wanted to mention that Abby and Sabrina have been training to become teachers themselves. They have done some fill-in teaching, and they're growing in that way. And I also wanted to express appreciation to Haley for coordinating with the ladies to teach them and Hannah how to grow as Christian young ladies. So that's a wonderful thing that's going on. It's exactly what Paul says is supposed to be going on in Titus 2. Older women likewise, to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. Of course, Sabrina's got years for that part. To be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. But this same kind of older generation teach the younger generation. That's gone on in 2016. I want to commend you for that, and I think it's wonderful. I think we should do more of it. And I know that some of the men have done that as well, which I'll come to in just a second. Also, in terms of teaching, I've been very encouraged by Tom teaching this quarter. Has anybody else been encouraged by Tom teaching? That's been a change for us. It's a new voice in our congregation. We've kind of had the same adult auditorium teachers for quite several years, but to have Tom teaching and doing a great job and so passionately involved in that is a big encouragement to me. And he also fills in when I'm gone, and he's scheduled to do that again here in just a couple of weeks. In fact, he will be preaching for us from the pulpit and wrapping up his class that he's been teaching. Teachers and elders and evangelists are gifts that the Lord has given the church. Ephesians 4 says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And I really am encouraged when you step back and look at it. For a small group, we have a lot of people who are involved in various ways. We've talked about that when it comes to song leading. We have amazing number of song leaders for the size of the group that we have. We have a lot of people who are involved in teaching. We have just a lot of people who are involved in a lot of different ways. And that, to me, is a sign of a healthy congregation, because that's what is described as what's supposed to be going on. In Ephesians 4, he says, "Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, even to Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." So when things are working right and firing on all cylinders and those kind of things, everybody's doing their part, everybody's pitching in, everybody's doing what they can do, and then the body, in that sense, then is healthy and thriving and building itself up. And so I want to encourage you to continue to do that, and to thank those of you who have been active in that. And to add, let me just add this, maybe as you're sitting and listening and thinking about that, you realize you haven't taught in a while, or you've taken a break, or you'd like to be more involved. I'm sure that Lee would be glad to hear from you. He's in charge of scheduling those teachers in the back. And so set that as a goal for 2017. If that's something that you've not done and you want to get more involved in, to be part of this part, doing every part doing its part, then maybe that'll be a great goal for you for 2017. In the same kind of way of growing, we've had some of our young men, just like the young ladies, we have some young men stepping into leadership roles. Cole and Gavin have both preached this past year. Remember, they split up a Sunday night? And that was thanks again to the efforts of Stephen and Shannon and Jeff, who's also taken a very interested, involved role in mentoring the young people here in terms of learning to lead singing, learning to speak, learning to put outlines together, working on PowerPoints. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. I suspect there's a lot of things that go on all in general that a lot of us don't realize unless you just happen to be involved in it. But there was an evening not long ago at the Southern Heritage Financial Office in the back with Shannon and Stephen, and big screens and PowerPoints, and the boys were back there practicing, putting them together, learning the skills, learning the how-tos, going through the motions. So those kinds of things are going on, and that's great, and that's a big encouragement to them. And let's continue to encourage them to continue to be active and involved. While we're talking about that, Grant also led a song for the first time ever recently. And Grant's been involved in helping at the Lord's table and in reading. So that's a big encouragement as well to see these young men growing. Now, on a sadder note, as I was thinking, every year I try to think about who has passed away during the year, during the 2016. Interestingly, and maybe uniquely, we didn't have anybody in our congregation pass away last year, and we didn't have any births in our congregation last year. So that's kind of an unusual statistic. But in our extended family, we had quite a few who passed away last year. If you think about that, and you'll see what I mean as I list these for you, and I hope I haven't left anybody out. I would call Joe Perkins kind of extended family to us, spiritually speaking. He's sort of extended family. He passed away, and these are in chronological order. Ann's mother, Virginia Hardison, passed away this year. Felice's dad, Billy Bennett. Stephen's grandmother, Pauline Stevens. That would be the wife of RJ, of course. Ashley's grandmother, Betty Bashir's, passed away. And Shannon's grandmother, Beryl Stewart, out in California. These three, all within just a few days of each other, incidentally. So those were some losses that our church family felt in that sense of rejoicing together and weeping together, that we should feel those together as our members have suffered, and especially this time of year sometimes is when a lot of that kind of hits home, when there's been a loss in the family. So let's continue to remember these families and the loss that they have experienced this past year, and keep them in our prayers and encourage them. In terms of birth, as I said, there weren't any, but we do have some things to kind of look forward to in the coming year. Mr. Walt is going to be a big brother. Have you heard their story about the big reveal party? It's a funny one. I don't know if Daniel minds me telling it. Do you mind me telling it? Okay, he said go ahead. So they didn't know what the baby's going to be, and they wanted to, you know, this is the trend. We didn't know about all this when we were having kids, about these reveal parties, but they wanted to have one of these reveal parties where you find out, and the mom and dad are going to find out. We found out with Jack. You know how we found out with Jack? When they did this, and we said, so we knew, but that was the big reveal. And then the others we did find out with the ultrasound, but they had a reveal party where it was going to be revealed what the baby is, and so, you know, it's almost like every reveal party has to be unique and different. So, I mean, with this one they were doing was they were going to light a firework, and the color of the firework was going to tell you whether it's a boy or a girl. And so the guy who sold him the firework had the paper that said what it was, but they didn't know yet, so that he had to pick out the right one. So they invited family over and friends, and they're gathered out there, and the fireworks start going up, and it's a blue one, and then a red one, and then a white one, and then a blue one, and then a red one, and then a white one. And so when it was all over, they were just as confused as they were when it started. And they didn't know till the next day. They had to wait and call the ultrasound place to find out. So everybody had to leave the party, still not knowing what kind of, which baby they were having. But it turns out they confirmed it is a boy. So Walt's going to have a little brother, so that's really exciting, and we're looking forward to that and praying that everything goes well. And then last night, Sarah had a cup of coffee later than normal, so she was up, and I was drifting off to sleep, and she said, "Oh, wow." I was like, "What?" She was looking at Facebook, and there was another announcement that we saw on Facebook last night. Somebody else is having a baby next year. Have you guys seen that on Facebook? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Jude's going to be another big brother, and Noli's going to be a big sister. So that's their big. And I asked Stephen right before tonight. I said, "Now that's public, right?" And he said, "Yes." So I'm not ruining any big surprise. But they've got a great little video that you can go watch about that if you are connected to Facebook, and it's really good. Stephen does an outstanding job with that kind of thing. And so exciting stuff going on, and plenty to pray about in the coming months as those things continue to develop. And then finally, as I touched on right at the very beginning, we had a couple of changes in our families, children that we've watched grow up in our midst who are kind of taking some big steps this year. One of them is Dustin. That was a picture they shared on Facebook. He went to basic training. So he's not quite done, although he was back this morning. He's got a couple of weeks left in his specific training. And I was asking him for some more information, kind of what his plan is. What I understand, he's going to stay here and go to Motlow and study and continue to do things. May even have military involvement later in the future. He may go back and become a military police officer, and in terms of being an officer in the military. Not really sure yet. It sounds like, you know, that he's got a direction. He's got some goals and dreams, and that's what he's been working on. But that's a big thing that, Dustin's been gone for months. It's good to have him back for a few days before he's off again. Let's continue to pray for him in that. And then, Jack also had a big adventure, this year. That was one of my favorite pictures from that. He's got a ton of them. He keeps telling us on a thumb drive, but we haven't seen this mysterious thumb drive yet. So, we've only seen a handful of these pictures, but, Jack, of course, traveled, and we've talked about that quite a bit, so I won't belabor it, but, had a good trip to West Africa where my aunt and uncle are involved in mission work, and he got to do all kinds of things and have different experiences. Got to do a lot of teaching, got to do a lot of visiting with different congregations and seeing a totally different culture. Got to do work with some malnourished babies in a clinic that they have over there. So got to do a lot of interesting things, and one of those experiences that I'm sure will be memories that will be with him for a lifetime and broadening his horizons and that kind of thing. And you probably have heard, but if not, in just a couple of weeks, he's going to go to Florida College. So he's about to be off again. And so that's really exciting. And that's the reason why Tom's going to fill in, because we're going down there, and we'll be gone that January the 7th, didn't we say? Or 8th, something like that. 7th, 8th, whichever one that is. It's the 2nd Sunday in January. So anyway, big things going on. Change, and more change. President Kennedy once said, change is the law of life. Those who look only into the past or the present are certain to miss the future. So there's really no way around it. Life changes. You just keep moving forward. That's part of it. Now, having said all of that, let's get serious and look about some things in life that don't change. So it feels like the ground even is moving underneath you. The world constantly changes. With that in mind, there are some things that never change. Of course, God never changes. Let me just give you a handful of verses that establish this fact. Every good gift, we looked at this morning, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. We don't have to worry about God being different tomorrow than he was today or he was yesterday. Psalm 102 says, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. Malachi 3:6, the Lord says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. And Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't it nice to know that when it feels like there's everything changes, that there's something in someone who is constant and who is going to always be the same. You can depend on. You don't have to wonder if suddenly he's going to be different, if he's going to be changes, you know, his ways or change his feelings about us. God is constant and he stays the same. Also, his word is constant and firmly fixed. This is a verse, I believe, that Tom read. I think we went over this in our class Wednesday night. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. And Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. You can go a lot of places and see and do a lot of things. People will change their opinions. Popular views will come and go. Things will come and go. But this Bible is going to say the same thing in 2017, in 3017, if the world stands that long, that it did in 217. It's going to stay the same. It isn't going to change. People can change. People can change their minds about it. It won't affect what the Bible says. What the Word of God is, it's going to be the same. And so that's something that we can build our life upon with confidence, because it is going to endure forever. Included in that word are some promises that will never change. Hebrews 6 says, When God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We don't have to worry. We don't have to wonder if maybe after making this promise, God's going to change his mind and say, well, you know, I said that I would have a home for you after this life, but I don't know. I've got a different feeling now about it. That's what I was thinking yesterday. That's what people do, right? People sometimes make these big commitments. They say these things. They make these bold statements. They say they're going to do this or that, and then they become fickle or things change that are out of their control, or they just have a, you know, your relationship changes and now you're let down because, man, you were looking forward to that and now they backed out on you. God doesn't do that. God makes a statement, he makes a promise, and he keeps his word. So when we have held on to that hope, we can have strong confidence in his promise to us. And there's other promises that he's made as well, such as there will be a judgment day, and there's going to be a punishment for the wicked. So those are things that we can bank on, and that are not going to change. And so as we think about, especially this time of transition and young people moving on and spreading their wings and becoming more independent and charting their own course in life, something to take with you as you think about that is the words of Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So wherever we go, whatever we do, there's a big world out there to explore. And, you know, there's a lot of places to go and see and do and people to meet and people to learn from, books to read. But the fact is, God doesn't change. His word's going to say the same thing wherever you go. His promises are never going to change. So we never need to forget that. We need to always remember wherever we go that we're going to stand before him in judgment one day. And if we've lived faithfully, we have that hope of that eternal life waiting for us when this life is over. But that's a conditional promise, depending on what we choose to do. And finally, one thing that is never going to change is as long as the world continues to stand, people are going to need the saving power of the gospel. That's never going to change. That's going to be true in 2017 as well. And so, that may be true for somebody here tonight. If it's not true for you, it's definitely true for people you know and people that I know. And so as we think about 2016 and opportunities that have come and gone that we will never see again, that river's flowed downstream and it's gone. But there's more water headed our way. There's more opportunities. And so we'll have opportunities even this week before 2017 and continuing into the future. If the world stands and the Lord wills, let's make the best use of those that we can. Use the time wisely, for it does scoot on by quickly, doesn't it? So let's make the best use of it and serve the Lord faithfully. If you need to make your life right tonight, and we can help you do that, let us know as we stand and sing.